You are watching Keys and Gray Unplugged on beIN Sports and YouTube. Our international viewers join us from many different corners of the world where the discussion right now is much the same. Newspapers first, Andrew, and then I've got a number of things up my sleeve that I would like to talk to you about. Here's one that we mentioned briefly yesterday. Maybe we didn't spend enough time on because others have jumped on. I'm not suggesting for a minute as a result of our conversation, but it has occurred to one or two more that the headline here from the Mail, English football suffers fresh blow to complete the season as it emerges players face being uninsured. I did say this to you yesterday, if careers are ended due to coronavirus, not just playing injuries, but for COVID-19 itself. That's a game changer for me.
Well, it will be a game changer, Richard, if down the line there is a footballer, particularly a high-end footballer, has contracted COVID-19 and for whatever reason, for whatever complications they may have had, is unable to continue in his contract or his profession.
Well, I refer
that
you
further down the line would be a worry for everybody.
Well, I refer
everybody.
You back to what we discussed the other day, Wayne Rooney. We're not guinea pigs. Why if you're a footballer right now, would you be rushing back to work, putting yourself at risk of contracting this problem?
No, you wouldn't. And I don't think the footballers will be rushing back. They will only come back. And listen, I cannot believe... Now, the authorities may want to get the players back. The authorities may want to get the league going again. The broadcasters may want to get the leagues going again. But I can't believe that the clubs and the footballers are going to entertain playing football again until they, the clubs and the players, are... Can you be 100% sure?
Well,
certainly 90% sure that it's safe to do so.
Sadiq Khan, the Mayor of London, and I understand entirely, and I support his view in calling for football clubs to give their team doctors, physios, training ground equipment to the NHS in this fight against coronavirus. I understand that, but if that were to be the case, again, I don't think you're just blurring lines. I think you're crossing them.
Yeah, you are.
And you're running serious risks.
Yeah, I mean, but how many club doctors are there in the league? And he's talking predominantly
London.
Well,
every club now
But he's talking predominantly London.
The Mayor of London, yeah.
The Mayor of London is talking London clubs. So maybe what, many clubs in London? 10, 15? It's a tough one. What if the season kicks off again? You mentioned it. What if in a month's time, do we suddenly, if these guys are doing important jobs, just say, well, sorry, you've got to come back and work in football again?
From the back page of the Mail, clubs daren't ask stars to take pay cuts. Newcastle United have ancillary staff, so too Tottenham yesterday. But in general, they daren't ask players to take cuts in case they spark a transfer frenzy. What they're saying is they would be in breach of contract were they to do that.
Correct.
And players would walk away. I'll come back to that.
Can I just offer you a thought on that for me? All right. I'm not saying all the way down the line, because I know, let's say, the National League or the Third Division or the Second Division or the First Division in England. But I do think there's a case, Richard. I do, and shoot me down if you want, but I think there's a case for Premier League players who are earning vast sums of money, who have millions in the bank, to protect the rest of the staff at a football club, to offer up the opportunity to take a reduction, not a deferral, a reduction in their huge salaries that might keep the others who run a club on a daily basis, on a weekly basis at match days, to stay in employment.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. Daniel Levy, health before wealth. Daniel, well, look, I know why you're
everybody
laughing.
Everybody's wealth except mine.
Well, I know why you're laughing. He goes on to say in this article in the Mirror, when I read or hear stories about player transfers this summer, like nothing has happened, people need to wake up to the enormity of what is happening around us. With more than 786,000 infected, nearly 38,000 deaths worldwide, and large segments of the world in lockdown still, we need to realise that football cannot operate in a bubble. Agreed, Daniel, absolutely. On the same day as he took a £3 million bonus for delivering the new Tottenham Stadium on top of his £4 million basic wage.
That's he negotiated a great deal with himself there, I feel. I mean, how if you're chairman, chief executive of a multi-million pound industry, which he is, Tottenham, and he gets a salary, shouldn't it, part of his salary be you're delivering a new stadium, deliver it. Why do you need a bonus?
What date is it?
Ah, April Fool's Day.
It's a strange tradition that they have in England, in the UK.
Have you spotted any?
Well, I don't know.
Ah.
I don't know.
Always look, and if you're in England, you check your newspapers really closely. I'm just wondering, because of where we are,
this could be
in the middle of the pandemic, whether someone would dare throw an April Fool's joke in.
This could be a minefield. This is a entitled Wags. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is saying that he doesn't see any reason at all why wives and girlfriends shouldn't be working in the garden with players at the minute, because players, he says, let me read this, most of the players have good facilities and decent gardens, so hopefully their wives and girlfriends will be able to put some crosses and some passes in for them, and players will be able to work on movement as well as fitness at the same time.
Well, I have to say, in a normal April the 1st, I might question that one. Has maybe been tongue-in-cheek.
I don't know.
I have no idea.
This Martin Ziegler in The Times, again, something we discussed right at the start of the week. Growth of TV rights is over.
Wow. Well,
and players will pay for it. Good. Manchester City at the same time, having opened up their stadium to NHS recently, have been criticised by their own fans after the club decided against suspending direct debit payments for season tickets.
That's going to be an interesting one, isn't it? What do you do? The fans are the ones who, down the years, have been scarcely thought of, really. They've just, give us your money. I think now is the time to maybe just step back from that and just
stop
say,
the season.
Hold on.
You have a start date, if you can get, because then we can stop all this ridiculous speculation.
Yeah.
August 30, second week of September, whenever it might be, and you equate what was left on the season ticket to the new price.
Correct.
And then there are many reasons why we should go down that route.
Absolutely.
Everton have decided divided their squad into small groups to train together using video technology in an attempt to protect players' mental health, which will become an issue.
Okay.
Because it is for a lot of us. There's a meeting today, actually. Football authorities fear the season will not start again until June. That's the speculation.
I said to you, it's
April
pushed.
The 3rd, the 30th, May, June. Still going away.
Yeah.
And the National League have indefinitely suspended both the National, well, all of the National, North and South, three more leagues, indefinitely suspended. That sounds to me like political speak for...
It's gone.
Null and voided.
It's gone.
Yeah. So that's a selection from today's newspapers. Why do we need a transfer system?
It's a very good question. You've asked me that, I would say, many times over the last, particularly the last 5-10 years. You've thrown that question at me, why do we need a transfer system? I've had difficulty down the years finding a genuine, honest answer why I believe we should have a transfer system. One of them would be it's a lifeline for lower division clubs who groom a young player, find a little gem, and make millions by selling them on.
If I put you on the spot, I feel guilty in doing so.
I know you're going to say, who's the last one who came up? But I don't think, I'm not talking about multi-millions even, I'm talking about if you're in a third division club, Richard, and you find a young kid and you sell him for £1 million for a third division club, that's mega money for them. That's mega money for them. If you get to Division 2 where your Coventry are, there's a classic example. Mm. I'll give you Coventry right now. Over the last 10 years, how many have you produced?
Oh, half a dozen.
Thank you.
But that's because we have the system. If you remove the system...
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, but then where would Coventry be? You find a James Madison. Yeah? Who else? Others? About five or six?
Josh King was... the other one, not Josh. Bournemouth centre-forward.
Oh, yeah, I know you mean. Josh King? That's Josh King.
No, the other one.
Callum Wilson?
Yeah, Callum. There's a host of them. We just sold the kid, the right-back, to Norwich City.
But... Yes. So what, is that not a lifeline for Coventry?
Well, isn't there more money in the system? I can't think of another business where... I mean, it's a modern-day slavery where people are commodities and are moved around for such huge amounts of money. If we didn't have that system, and this is something I know that FIFPro have discussed.
Yeah.
Then
what are they anti?
They're very much anti. Uh-huh. Because their members, they ask why.
Uh-huh.
We don't need agents then.
No. Well, that would be a big plus for the game.
A massive plus.
That would be a big plus for the game. Could you?
You might get advisors, but they're not going to be leeching the money out of the game like the boys currently do.
Is it possible we have a two-tier then transfer system?
Maybe.
Whereas the Premier League, the top leagues in the world, you can move around the league if you want. There are no transfers. But if you're buying from the lower league, if you're taking someone from the lower league, there's compensation involved rather than a transfer. Call it compensation, which I think is in now anyway, when you nick a young, good player, you have to compensate the club you take them from. I don't know if that would work, but I don't know. Would the game be better for it?
Yes, in my would view.
You think so?
Yes.
The whole game?
Yeah, the whole game.
See, I just worry about the clubs in the lower leagues, about their ability to survive without a transfer.
Well, they're not surviving. We've been through this. They're not surviving now with a transfer system. They're all with their backs to the wall. So I don't see what difference that would make. I just think now is the time for football to start discussing some fairly revolutionary ideas, mm-hmm. because here we're resetting now,
right.
And if we're not, we should be.
Yeah.
So just it's 1995, the last time your team.
Well, you shot off at a tangent there.
Yeah. Well, we're done with that. 1995. I tell you why it came up. I noticed a line from Gary Lineker the other day. Said he'd now seen Howard's Way.
Yes.
And what a pleasure it was to play in that side. The best team he ever played for, he said. And my mind went back to a television interview with Des Lynam, the great.
Yeah.
Terry Venables.
Yes.
And Big Laurie McMenemy, all on the same panel. And Terry and Des were joking about getting Gary out of Everton.
Yes.
At the end of that first year. And the deal was obviously done. Terry was doing it.
Uh-huh.
And I remember Big Laurie towering over them and looking down and saying, well, I think Howard Kendall might have something to say about this. And of course, they both froze thinking, ah, well, yes.
Yes.
But there were reasons, and I don't know what they are, that Howard let Gary go at the end of that season. And I wondered if it was because he scored more goals, 42, something like that.
He scored...
Than anybody had since Dixie Dean in an Everton jersey. But Everton won nothing that season.
Came second twice, yeah. Runners up in the league, runners up
title
in the
title with the team you played in, title the following year,
yes.
When Sharp and Heath were back together.
That's right.
Do you think that was because there was more of a team ethic and that's what Howard saw?
That would be, you know, if I was really cynical and bitter, it would be easy for me to say, yes, that's exactly what it was. But there are many...
No, I don't want you to be cynical.
No, but there are many
things... And I don't
think
this will be misunderstood. I want you to be honest.
There are many things that go towards winning titles, winning FA Cups. In all honesty, Richard, I couldn't answer that question. The only people that could answer that question are the lads who remained there from the team I played in, the Southalls, the Gary Stevens, the Peter Reeds, Trevor Stevens, the Adrian Heath, Graham Sharps, Kevin Sheedy's of this world. They're the only ones that can say, you could go up to and say... Do you know that middle season when Gary was there with his 42 goals? Why? What was the difference? Why did it not happen then and it happened the season before and happened the season after? They're the guys. If Reedy was sitting here, I could ask Reedy and I know he'd give me an honest answer because he went through it. I didn't live through it. I watched it from afar. I can't tell you. What I do know is that we all know what Gary was, a masterly goal poacher. Right? He scored bucketfuls of goals wherever he went. Was he as much of a team player as me? Probably not. And I think the guys at Everton would probably say that. Was he a better goal scorer than me? Absolutely. Statistics prove that. But maybe I gave Everton something that he didn't. I don't know. But again, it's not a question I can answer easily because I wasn't there. I don't know what was missing in that middle season.
Well, you can answer this one. Have Everton got it right now? By the way, can I just... If you haven't seen Howard's Way, you must.
Oh, you must.
The size of this, it's a tent.
No, that's the replica. That's a bit snug. It's a bit snug on me. Let's see that. That's good. That's great.
It's a 1985
Rotterdam
jersey. Oh, Rotterdam, is it?
That's Rotterdam. Wow. That's the... The one and only European final Everton have contested, I think still, and the one and only European trophy that the club has won. So we're all very proud of that night in Rotterdam. All very proud.
Have they got it right now?
With Ancelotti. I said to you right at the beginning of that, if you remember, you thought that Arsenal and Everton had got it wrong, didn't you? You thought Arteta would be a perfect fit for Everton because they can give him time to build and rebuild, and Ancelotti would go into an established club, top four club like Arsenal and pick it up and go with it. I said to you, if Ancelotti comes hungry, if he has his mojo very much intact, and if he wants to do it, I thought having them there would be a massive plus with his knowledge that he has of managing and coaching not only great clubs, but wonderful footballers. And I think we've seen in the short term, maybe not a huge jump, but I have seen a difference in the way Everton play. I've seen a difference in an attitude of some of the players. We've seen Calvert-Lewin, for instance, have his best end to a season that he's had.
Take the Chelsea result out of that.
Yes.
And the Chelsea performance.
Yeah, you're going to get them, Richard. You're going to get them. You're going to get results like that, particularly now. But what Carlos had, and you know what they like, I mean, it's like Mourinho going in at Tottenham. The foreign coaches normally don't like going in mid-season. They prefer to go in at the end of a season so they can get a transfer window, a big one, and a pre-season with the team, and then go.
I'll give you an example of why you're right. It just comes to my mind.
Oh.
Gianluca Vialli and yes. Ray Wilkins on the golf course, and still miss you, Ray. Yeah. Love you to bits, man. What a huge loss he's been.
Oh.
Phone rings. Luca shouldn't have taken the call, but did. Yeah, well, not now, maybe the end of the season. And Ray said, who was that? Tottenham.
So Ray's his assistant, yeah. And they're out of work.
Sounds good. Not now, not mid-season.
There you go.
I've told them, we'll wait. What do you mean, we'll wait? Mm. Bring them back.
I know. I know. Well, that's what happens, and that's what we believe, that foreign managers are not great at going in mid-season. British coaches have been doing it all their lives. They know what to do, they know how to do it, they get on with it, and they just get the job done. So I was a little bit surprised that having lost his job, it was so quick between losing his job at Napoli, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And then picking it up at Everton.
That's what bothered me, and I still think Everton are a project. I still think someone like Arteta would have been the right choice.
Yeah.
And I think Ancelotti would have gone into a club like Arsenal where they need it now. Arsenal need it now.
Yes.
There isn't time
for
Arsenal, but there is at Everton, because after, what is it, 95?
25 years.
Still
25
nothing.
Years, that's me.
And it's interesting, you know, we talked about it before we started today. Since Howard Kendall, third time round, or?
Joe Royal, since Joe won 95, the FA Cup 95.
Eight different managers?
Eight.
And you were aghast at that. You thought, eight managers in 25 years. United have had six in the last.
Yes.
Eight.
But they're trying...
And Fergie was there from the same period of time as Moisey.
But they're trying to replace
beyond.
Somebody who was there 27 years at a club and had the glories he had. So Manchester United were never...
So maybe you didn't have enough managers then, if that argument
Well,
stands.
We only never have enough managers for Chelsea.
What was the difference between... And again, we're all... I think we're all on YouTube, aren't we? Absorbing football when it was pure and not mechanical as it is these days.
You'll get accused of being a dinosaur. And saying, Pierre, what's wrong with the football today? The youth
mechanical.
Of today will tell you.
It's too we'll mechanical.
Ask it.
It's too mechanical. VAR spoiled today. Not going down that line.
No. That's the first we've mentioned that.
But I mentioned that game to you the other day when Sam was playing for Coventry. We should have won. You were lucky to get nil that day. It was a goalless draw at Goodison.
I remember it
but
well.
The players in that team, Andy, bar two, I think, were the very same players that went on to deliver the most successful spell in that club's history.
Uh-huh.
What happened?
I don't know. Again, I've thought about that millions of times, Richard. Not only the Coventry game.
Sorry, what was the date? It was...
Well, that's November.
November...
84.
Yeah.
83.
83.
November 83. But it was worse than that. We went to play a league game round about Christmas, Boxing Day or something like that. Same bunch of players. Went to play at Birmingham City, St Andrews. And Howard came in. Right, boys, said, results hadn't got any better. Petitions were out. You remember it well yourself. Petitions are out, Kendall must go, get rid of him. Philip Carter, no, I'm sticking by him. I think he's the right man. He's got my backing. He was laughed at, because you know when a chairman usually backed a manager in those days, that meant he was out the door. But Philip meant it. Sir Philip meant it at the time.
I actually think two more games.
Do you think so?
And he was.
No, well, at that time, Sir Philip
meant
it.
It's all right being brave now.
Now, I know. So we played away at Birmingham. Howard came in and says, listen, this is the point of no return. If results don't start changing now, then I'm going to have to change this group of players. Wow. We won. We beat Stoke 2 weeks later in an FA Cup tie in Stoke.
Victoria Ground.
Yeah, that was it.
Is the name
Victoria
you're looking
Ground.
For.
Victoria Ground. It's amazing, isn't it? You forget all these great, great grounds. But we won there. And then we had that amazing draw at Oxford in the League Cup when Kevin Brock's back pass was intercepted by Adrian Heath. Kept us in the League Cup. Although we didn't win the League Cup, we got to the final. Lost to Liverpool. This was the same boys. They had been growing though. Trevor Stephen began to stay in the team. Kevin Sheedy began to stay in the team because Terry Curran was in it when I went. Alan Irvine, they were the kind of wide players. But it developed to Stephen and Sheedy in that 2 or 3 month spell. And Neville captured number one goalkeeper because they used to switch, Howard used to switch between Neville Southall and Jim Arnold.
Yes.
And
Howard's first signing.
Was it Jim?
The first of the Magnificent Seven. Howard had left Blackburn where he was player manager to take over at Everton, remember, as player manager initially. And he brought Jim Arnold with him. Safe pair of hands, he used to say. Neville had arrived,
yes,
but that deal was already set up. Gordon Lee and his coaching staff were buying Neville.
Right.
So Howard naturally was going with his man.
Right.
But his man, sorry Jim, wasn't good enough. Certainly nowhere near as good as Neville became, or was even at that point.
Yeah. So that was what was happening. The team was developing like that. Reedy had got into the team the same time as I arrived. Peter Reid, amazingly, Peter Reid hadn't been in the team up until the time I got there. Then he established himself in the middle of midfield. He was regarded as a white player. Reedy, trolling up and down the wing. Come on.
When Howard got in, he played himself on that right side. And when Howard wasn't playing, Reedy came in. And between the two of them, they weren't good enough to fill that position.
So whatever happened, they shifted Reedy in one to the middle of midfield. And it worked like a dream. History tells us that. And so the team was just kind of development. Now, you'd have to ask Howard, and I wish we could, sadly, God bless him. Did he plan these changes? Did he have a vision of morphing this team into what it became? Or was there a chunk of good fortune involved in this? Because of how good Trevor Stephen became and how Gary Stevens comes in at right back.
What did Napoleon once say?
Don't give me a good general, give me a lucky one all the time. Yeah, you need luck, and I think Howard would be first to admit that. So the team developed. Kevin Ratcliffe took over from Mark Higgins. You remember Higgins?
Billy Wright was there at the time.
Billy Wright.
Tommy's nephew.
Derek Mountfield came in. Kevin Ratcliffe moved from a job in left back, not in the side, a job in left back, not getting a game, to centre back and became one of the best I've ever had. And the most successful skipper they ever had. So
over that
6 month spell, Richard, it morphed. But do you know the key? I think the key was getting to the League Cup final. I was cup tied. I missed it. But I watched those young kids.
A game settled by Graham Souness in a replay at Main Road.
Well, it was the first All Merseyside Cup final, the League Cup final. So it was a special occasion. So these guys, these young Everton players, suddenly were embraced.
Talk to me about that period of time. You were 28, early in your career, ripped, blonde, blue eyes. Exciting myself here.
Which changed?
You were on the slippery slope to nowhere. Wolves relegated, your career all but gone.
Yes.
I don't think you were signed at Everton with any more intent than we need something. And he's different. So, but it sparked, or you arrived as somebody lit the fuse, and it subsequently sparked that extraordinary era. So you're now established. You're moving house, you're emptying boxes, and there's a Jag turns up outside the house.
Yeah.
With Howard Kendall in it.
Yeah. Yeah. It was about 3 weeks, 2 or 3 weeks after we lost the FA Cup final to United that denied us the...
But you'd won that.
We'd won that in Rotterdam. We'd clinched the league way before it finished, 5-6 games before the end of the season. The league was ours.
Went to Coventry, got spanked.
Yeah, because we didn't play.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't say, when I look in my record book, didn't play. It says Coventry 4, Everton 2.
I said to the boys, listen, I quite like this little club. I said, I normally score against them.
Go on.
Let them have a victory. They need it. So we're moving house in Formby, and I was looking forward to the close season because it had been a tough season. We played a lot of games. You know, we played a whole round of the FA Cup, whole round of the European Cup Winners' Cup, got to the quarter final of the League Cup, 42 league games. It was a big season, and it was a demanding season, not just physically, but mentally for all the guys. So it was going to be a switch-off period for me, a really good one, I thought. Move house, settle, bam. 3 or 4 weeks off, holiday, come back, ready to go, looked out, Jag, Howard. I turned to my girlfriend at the time and says, I wouldn't be unpacking any more boxes if I was you.
You knew.
A coach doesn't come and see you in close season, Richard, after you've nearly won the treble and won a double without a very good reason.
And that reason was?
He asked me if I was happy. Have we got time for a short story?
It's going to have to be a very short story.
You asked me if I was happy. I said, sorry, Howard, are you mad? We've just won Europe. We just won the league. Won the FA Cup last year. Nearly won the treble this year. Could I be happier? Love the boys. Love you. What's your problem? Oh, no, I've had an offer from Villa. I went, so what? Why am I leaving here? No, it's just that if you did want to go, and he was humming in hand, and I had a chance to buy Gary Lineker if you were going to go. And I said, well, I don't want to go. I said, you want a glass of wine? He said, yeah. So I had a glass of wine with him, and I could tell he was uncomfortable. And about 20 minutes of small talk later, he said, well, listen, I'm going to buy Gary. I went, okay. I said, what does that mean then? He says, it means I'm going to start with him and Graham. I went, okay. And I was far too quick in retrospect now, in hindsight. I should have absorbed it.
Yes.
And taken my time.
Yes.
And stayed. That's what I should have done. But there was pride in there about what we'd done. And the fact that I was not being discarded, but as well, much as being discarded, I just turned to him within seconds and went, I'll tell you what, I'll make it easy for you, I'll go. He went, you know I'm going to get battered, don't you? I says, good, I hope so. And I went, and the rest is history.
Yeah.
But if there was one decision I could change as a footballer, it would have been that one.
But you don't know, because you may not then have ended up at Rangers, and you might not have worn your hometown club's
That's
number
true.
9 jersey.
That's true. But I do know I shouldn't have left Everton. I loved it there, so... And that's no slight on Villa, because when I was a kid, they made me.
We are here every day at the same time, Monday to Friday, Tuesday to Saturday in some parts of the world.
Yes.
And for our international viewers, you'll also find us on YouTube. Thank you for your reactions and thoughts. We will continue to discuss. In the short term would be preferable for all of us, but no sign of that. Stay distanced, stay safe.